Good afternoon. It's Wednesday, April 8th, 2009. I'm your host, Daniel Robison, and this is Ask the Mayor on WFIU. Today, Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett joins us by telephone, as he does every second Wednesday of each month. As always, welcome to the show, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you for having me.
Before we get started, let me remind listeners they can call in and ask Mayor Bennett a question. It's 812-855-0811 or toll-free at 1-877-285-WFIU. You can also join the conversation at our newly redesigned website, wfiu.org/mayor. So, Mr. Mayor, you're on vacation.
Yeah, I'm out this week, but the mayor's work never stops, so I'm still been on the phone and emailing every day.
Yeah, so you're down in Florida. How much work do you have to do, even though you're technically on vacation?
Well, you know, there's still a lot of things going on. So, as I said, you know, responding to emails and voicemails and just trying to keep up with things. It's kind of a, you know, continuous saga, as any mayor would tell you. Your work never really stops. It's a 24/7 job.
Well, last night, I assume you weren't there, the Terre Haute City Council decided to put off a vote that would have used the city's rainy day fund to help cover health care costs for city employees. You proposed that. Is that a controversial thing, using rainy day funds to pay for deficits in health care costs?
No, not at all. And I mean, you're going to take it out of the general fund or you're going to take it out of the rainy day fund. And that's kind of why we rebuilt the rainy day fund last year. When I took office, there wasn't any money in our rainy day fund at all. And I had put money back all year just for situations like this. And excuse me, we're a self-insured insurance plan. And so our insurance portion is not part of the budget per se. And we've just had three out of the last 4 months have been just unbelievable when it comes to significant health care issues with some of our employees, some really critical issues come up in their lives, and it's tapped into our fund. And so we need to be able to put some money in there to cover those costs to get us through the end of June when the end of that insurance year ends.
I know you weren't at the meeting, but why do you think they decided to put it off? Why do you think that they want to wait till May to do this?
Yeah, I really have no idea. It's kind of puzzling to me. I talked to the city attorney last night about it. And, well, one of the councilmen specifically, the council was a little short last night, too, because of vacations. But one of the councilmen just has some issues with that and apparently doesn't understand that the insurance is not part of the budget. And we've got a funded budget for this year. It's just that we're short on the insurance side of things that we collect from the employees, and we have to be able to cover those costs so we can continue to, you know, pay those health care expenses that come in. So I guess I was caught off guard by that, because when I spoke to the council last week, there was a few questions, general type questions, but nobody seemed to be put out by it. I didn't receive any emails or phone calls from anybody. Just kind of all of a sudden last night it became an issue.
What do you think you're going to have to do over the next month to make sure it's not an issue?
Well, we just got to explain to them, make sure, and maybe some just don't understand this, that being self-insured and how that works. You know, we have to be able to cover those costs. You got the bills are coming in, so you got to pay the bills. So you either pay it out of the general fund or you pay it out of the rainy day fund, which is what I would prefer to do, because over the last years, the general fund keeps getting tapped more and more with departments going over budget. So we've got to leave a little bit of a cushion there to get us through these, as we've talked on this show many times, House Bill 1001 and our loss of property tax dollars. We know that we're going to continue to lose in the future, so we've got to save as much money back as we can. But we don't have a choice when it comes to health care, because it's our employees, and they didn't do anything to put themselves in these positions. It's just the high cost of health care and an abnormal amount of claims.
Do you think this might set a dangerous precedent, though, that every time that the city has some bad months with health care, they tap into the rainy day fund? And what if that keeps happening?
Well, you know, I've only been in office a little over a year. You know, you do your insurance 1 year at a time, and you set what the fees are going to be for the employees to pay, and you go through a process. And these insurance companies know what they're doing. They're very, very talented about estimating things. This is just a case where periodically that kind of a thing happens. At the previous employer I was at, the same thing happened there. With the health plan, and they had to, you know, put some money over there to take care of that. So this isn't uncommon. It's just, you know, they do their best estimate a year ago from basically this time. We negotiated it a year ago in April, and we seem to be coming up a little bit short. And so we will have to make sure we put more money back next year through employee premiums or reduce our health care costs. One of the two will have to happen.
Well, I saw the amount of money that the city is being billed for those 3 months, and it's really, really high. Why do you think that is? Is it just because of winter months? People get sick more during the winter months? Or what do you think it is?
No, there was just some catastrophic situations, cancer, heart conditions, just a variety of things that could strike any employer with a large number of, staff. I mean, there's nothing, we use Anthem as our provider, and they're very good about negotiating good rates. It's just when you have issues with significant health issues that just happen to hit you, there's no way you try to plan those over the course of a year, you're going to have a few of those. Well, it just seems though as over the 3 of the last 4 months, we've had a significant amount of serious health problems that have developed in our employees. And that's why we have the insurance, and it's just one of those things. There's nothing, once again, I think many organizations are facing that, and it just depends on how much you have in your reserves, is whether you weather the storm or not.
Well, how much is in the rainy day fund right now?
In the rainy day fund, a little over $4 million.
So this isn't a significant chunk?
No, it's not. And then once we get some new revenues in sometime over this year, we'll put some money back in the rainy day fund. When typically every year you get a few revenues in that you didn't really count on or didn't expect, and we'll put that money back in the rainy day fund.
Well, this almost seems like it's putting a Band-Aid on a situation that might need more attention. If healthcare costs keep going up, in fact, I saw you quoted in an article, you said the city is expected to have a 20% higher next year healthcare costs. What do you think? Are you thinking of longer term solutions for this?
Well, all these insurance plans run a year at a time, and that's pretty typical everywhere. They don't do more than a year at a time because they want to see what your usage is. And so they set the rates based on a 12-month cycle, and that's the way it'll continue to be no matter what kind of a plan you have set up. And what we need to do is just find ways to make sure we have enough in our reserves to handle that. Prior to me taking office, the previous administration had given a free month to the employees where they didn't have to pay any premiums. And so that kind of put us in the hole a little bit coming into this year, into the new year, into the new insurance year that started July 1st of last year. And so we've used up the reserves, basically. And once again, this is not uncommon at all, and you can't predict, if you have an abnormal number of employees, that's why your insurance costs go up the next year, because they base it on the experience of the previous year. So that's why they're predicting our costs to go up next year.
You say you can't really predict it, but cancer and heart conditions, they happen. They happen every single year. So what do you think it is? How do you think that you're going to be able to cut a good deal with your insurance company? With all these things happening,
I think we may have to look at some different insurance options. We may have to look at changing our ceilings, the individual amounts for copays. There's a lot of little things within a plan that you can tweak to minimize the risk on the city's part, and that's something you have to do over a period of time. You have to continue to look at those things and make sure they don't get out of hand. And then, if you go through cycles where a lot of people are sick at one time instead of it spread out over the course of a year or two, then, that's one of those things you're more able to absorb those kind of hits where the reserves really weren't there. And, I mean, we've used them up, so they're not there now. And we need to get through these last couple of months of the year and going into our new year for insurance. So that's the process we're going through right now, is determining what we're going to tweak on our insurance plan for next year to help protect the city.
Let me remind listeners they can call in and ask Mayor Bennett a question. It's 812-855-0811 or toll-free 1-877-285-WFIU. Well, the city is getting ready for contract negotiations with firefighters. What's your expectations going into those negotiations?
Well, things are going to be tough from a perspective of raises, and everybody knows that. And the firefighters are not the only union we're negotiating with this year. We have several. And we've done our best to educate our staff and the community about the loss of revenues. We're going to have $3.7 million less next year to operate with than what we have this year. So it's critical that we find those ways to minimize, new expenses. And so, any negotiations are always an interesting process as both sides come to the table with their ideas of what they'd like to see happen, and then you got to find a way to work those things out. So this being the first negotiation with the fire department for us is something that, you know, we're looking forward to. And we, like I said, we've done a lot of education. We've had a lot of close communications with all of our employees just to let them know, you know, tough fiscal times are ahead for not just Terre Haute, but the entire state, every community in Indiana.
Do you feel like the firefighters know and understand that the city's coming to them in a bad situation?
Well, I think that a lot of them do, and I can't say that every single firefighter understands, because if you go out and talk to any person on the street and say, do you know what House Bill 1001 is, or do you know what the property tax caps are? Most of them generally know that their property taxes went down, but they don't really know what the true impact is on the city. And we've made a strategic effort to really get on radio, TV, and the newspaper to let the public know. And there's been a lot of stories. You know, the libraries face some issues already, and the county is facing issues. So most people generally know that there's a negative impact on our budget. And so, you know, there could be individuals that don't really understand that completely, but overall, most people kind of know there's something going on, and it's a loss of revenue. But that's really the extent of their knowledge.
Well, not to tip your hand, but what do you want out of these negotiations?
Well, I want to make sure that everybody, you know, has the opportunity to spell out what they're looking for. And sometimes that's a difficult thing, because it depends on how far apart you start. But our goal is to make sure we have good negotiations. We're talking honestly with each other, and this is true with every union we're negotiating with this year, that we just want to be able to explain each side and work through that process and not rush to any judgments or make any quick decisions or, you know, dig in too quickly until everybody has the facts and they completely understand. So our goal is to share as much information and be as totally as transparent as we can.
Last time there were contract negotiations, the firefighters apparently rented a local radio station and broadcast criticism of your predecessor. I assume you want to avoid that this time around.
Yeah, and, you know, who knows what all the motives were for that, politics, you know, how all that works and how people choose different methodologies to do things. And I would be hopeful that there would be nothing like that would need to be happening. I'm sure that we'll be able to sit and work these things out. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
How many firefighters are there in Terre Haute?
We have 138 right now. We're staffed for, budgeted for 152.
So what accounts for that difference?
We've retirements and those types of things over the last couple of years.
So you haven't replaced those firefighters?
No, but we're getting ready to replace some of them, because we're going to lose two more this year to retirement and four more next year. So we're looking, the merit board is beginning to look at some applications and go through that process to bring the numbers back up.
So what's your ultimate goal when you come out of these with a contract? What's your ultimate goal for the city?
Well, you know, the most important thing is for us to provide a high level of public safety, both police and fire services, to the citizens of our community. That's the number one thing, that the challenge that I have as mayor, to make sure we do those things well. And our police and fire department both are very professional, and they do their jobs well. It's a dangerous profession. What we have to be able to do is just go through this process to have them understand our fiscal situation. We want to preserve jobs, and so we're going to do everything we can to make sure we negotiate a new contract that both sides are happy with.
Well, how do you strike that balance between spending money wisely and also providing the public safety service?
Well, I think when you look at the entire budget of a city, you prioritize things. And I think that public safety is number one, and our streets are right behind that. And so our efforts to prioritize our spending will come with, you know, making cuts in other areas that aren't as essential. And so, you know, we did a really good job of making the cuts we needed to make for this year. We put a little bit of money back, as I said, in a rainy day fund to help us through the future. And we'll have to make some additional cuts next year that are a little bit deeper. And so it'll be across the board. We'll make cuts in every department. But you can be assured that we're going to protect public safety in our street department. Streets and taking care of the streets is at the top of the list.
Well, switching topics here. Last month, the House passed a bill that would establish the 1-2-3 property tax caps starting last January. What would this mean for your city to be suddenly jolted into these new caps now instead of later?
Well, that would be bad, and I know I had talked with you guys the day that was going through, and I hadn't heard about that until you had given me the heads up that day. And I think it's that would be really bad to go retroactive. I mean, I'm opposed to putting the caps in place right now anyway. I'd like to wait and see what happens for this year. This is the first real year of impact. And I'm not sure if 1, 2, and 3 are the right caps that should be. And I know there's a lot of fairness issues. We've got business people in our community that really believe there ought to be one cap, like a 2% cap for everybody instead of 1, 2, and 3. I just think there's not enough information yet to make the decision that we should lock that in constitutionally. And that's just, you know, my opinion. It goes against the opinion of some, and it's in agreement with many others. So that's why I think there's enough division out there that we need to see the true results. When we first get our property tax payments this year, we'll know if the estimates have been correct from Indianapolis or not. And I'm hopeful that it won't be any worse than what they're predicting. And so to lock it in and make it constitutional, that would take us through this long, drawn-out process, and then to ever change it would be drag us back through that again. I'm not sure we're ready to do that. So doing it immediately would be really bad, but doing it, you know, right now to lock it in constitutionally would also be bad, in my opinion.
Well, you say this is just your opinion, but this is based on your experiences that you deal with. You deal with this every day. You deal with this with your budget and how you're going to pay your employees and on and on. What are you doing to make your feelings known to your legislators?
Oh, I talk with them quite a bit. A couple of weeks ago, I spent half a day over in Indianapolis meeting with the legislators and, you know, just sharing my concerns. And I think in Indianapolis, they have the mentality that, you know, we just need to cut the budgets, which, okay, fine. That was one of my goals as running for office, was to make sure that I kept property taxes from rising. And the problem is, when you cold turkey cities and towns like this, we don't have the opportunity to raise any real new revenues. I mean, you can do a few little things here and there, but you really are relegated to making major cuts to your budgets. And I know there's a lot of communities that didn't get hit really bad. There's a lot of them that are much worse than Terre Haute. But the key is, yeah, we can cut the budgets, but when you do it in that short period of time where we're going to go basically, now the newest estimate I have is that I'm going to have to cut $6.5 million. That's a loss of property tax money that we had last year that we're not going to have in 2011. And so that's a pretty significant cut. You can't just go and cut a few things here and there and survive. You've got to cut major things. It's going to be things that the taxpayer expects you to deliver, yet the money's not there. And so I think that I'm all for property tax relief. But I'm just not sure that this was the right approach to take at this time. And then you look at the flip side and say, okay, well, they raised the sales tax. A lot of people think that money somehow flows back to local government, but it doesn't. And with sales tax revenues way down, now the state's hurting too. So, it's a major change, and I think we need to evaluate that change before we make it permanent.
You've said you've had conversations with legislators about this. Do they think this has any real chance of passing?
Well, you know, it all depends who you talk to. If you talk to the Republicans, they say yes. If you talk to Democrats, they say no. And, I can't get a read. You know, I know the governor wants it really bad, and they're all moving forward with the concept. I just don't know if people, in a referendum setting, if you go to the ballot box, you're more than likely going to say, you know what, I want lower property taxes. I want to lock this in at 1%. So it could get voted in that way if they get it to that point. And I'm not saying that that's going to be the end of the world. I mean, don't take me wrong here. It's just that we need a good year here. We need 2009 and the results of that to really tell us, is this the right cap? Is this the right amount at the right time?
And but so far you think that it's a bad idea?
Well, I think the bad idea is to do it right now, to hurry up and lock it in when we haven't really. And once again, I'd rather just see a 2% across the board cap. I would prefer to see that than a 1, 2, and a 3. That's just me, though. And I thought that was a pretty good plan they had, you know, going into last year. And a lot of businesses don't think it's fair, especially, like, I own a small business. My wife has a small business we've had for 22 years. We're going to have a 3% cap on a very, very small business building as compared to a very large manufacturer just down the street from us, a larger, who's going to have a 3% cap. And it just, I think there's some fairness issues in that. And so, you know, that's my take.
Well, let's talk a little bit about unemployment. What is unemployment in Terre Haute right now?
It's around 9%. I don't have the newest figures, but it's creeping up. We continue to have an increase in those that are unemployed. And I think we're kind of following the trends there, and we're feeling that sometimes a little later than other places. And once again, we've talked about this, where we've got a lot of diversity in our community and in our industry and business, but we're slowly creeping up. So we're right at the state average, basically. And maybe when we get the March information here real soon, we'll see if we've gone above that.
With nearly 1 in 10 people in Terre Haute now unemployed, what are some of the signs you're seeing of this unemployment?
Well, I think that, you know, when I go out, and just as an example, you know, you go out to eat, you hit the gas stations, you go to the mall, I still see people spending money and doing things. I know it's tough for the families that have, you know, when you get laid off, obviously you have to hunker down and do what you need to do, get yourself reemployed or wait out, you know, to be called back. But there are people still spending money and doing things. You know, we hear a lot of things, and then you witness a lot of things. But once again, every year we kind of go through a little bit of a winter cycle where there's some layoffs in our community. It just is much worse because it's a national issue here with the recession. And so I still see people doing things. I've heard that home sales are starting to move a little bit in the positive side. There's some new building permits that have come through the city for several retail establishments, eating establishments, and banks. And we've probably got about right now about 8 or 10 building projects going on in Terre Haute. So, I mean, it's kind of we're weathering the storm, I guess is the best way to put it, that you see some positive signs amongst a lot of the negative things.
Do you feel like the tide might be turning?
A little bit. I mean, at least it seems like it's kind of holding its own right now. And we'll just have to see if it gets any worse in the coming months. You watch TV and listen to the national media, and they say that, you know, there's more layoffs coming from big corporations. But will it affect Terre Haute? You know, and that remains to be seen. But we seem to be kind of just hanging right there where it's not just a big downslide. And hopefully these folks can get called back to work and things will turn around in the next few months.
Well, last week I was speaking with the Columbus mayor, and he seems to think that with a lot of people laid off around the new year, unemployment is going to be running out for them pretty soon. So he thinks there's a tide coming when unemployment runs out of maybe homelessness. Or we talked a little bit about increased crime in Columbus due to the recession. Do you see that at all?
Well, we've seen a little bit of an increase in crime over the last few months, and a few more domestic disturbances. You know, a lot of times those are related to finances. I think you're probably going to continue to see that as people have a tougher time paying their bills. But, you know, I don't think anybody can predict anything. I really don't. And hopefully this will be short-lived and things will begin to turn around. I mean, the market's doing a little bit better periodically. That's one measurement. The unemployment numbers are huge. The building permits, I think, is another sign. And I don't know about Columbus, but at least in our community, we're seeing a little bit of a positive trend there. So I'm just hoping this is short-lived because we are seeing a tiny bit of a spike, but it's not anything, you know, way out of line, like it's just, you know, out of control in any way that the growth is just happening.
Briefly, what's the homeless situation in Terre Haute?
Well, I know right now they're working on some numbers, and I haven't heard what they've got. They're kind of doing a pre-census of the homeless population. We've heard at various times it runs anywhere from 150 to 200 people at any given time, and those are the ones that are kind of taking advantage or have connected with some social service agency. So that's always, there's others out there that you don't know about, of course. But the local homeless coalition is working really hard to identify how many families are really homeless and what's going on. So I think we'll know more in the next month or two when those numbers become public. But there are, you know, we do have some issues. Lighthouse Mission in Terre Haute is a large homeless facility, and they're, you know, they're pretty busy down there. So there are people that are being displaced, and some choose to move out of the community and do what they're going to do. And you kind of go through this cycle of trying to determine how many people, is it getting worse or is it kind of holding its own? And really, you know, I don't see, nobody's come and told me that we've got this huge glut of homelessness, but I'm sure there's going to be additional foreclosures and things, and people can't pay their rent, they're going to be moving out, so it'll probably get a little worse before it gets better.
In the 5 minutes we have left, I want to get to talking about the stimulus, but first I want to just get an update on the Supreme Court case. Have you heard anything?
Nope, not heard a thing, so it sits over there waiting for their action, and we have not heard one thing at all. Could be any day, it could be any week, it could be any month. I mean, really, I would I was hoping they would make a ruling by now to say, are they taking it or not? So we kind of thought by April we might hear something, but not heard a thing.
Well, how do you live, how do you work with that uncertainty, knowing that at any moment, you know, your job, you might not have your job?
Well, life is full of uncertainties, and, you know, I can't dwell on that. I know that from the beginning I didn't do anything wrong, and it's just up to the courts to decide. And, of course, whatever they decide, I'll go with. You know, most of the time I don't even think about it until somebody asks me, real, to be perfectly honest. I mean, there's so much stuff going on and so many positive things that we're trying to do that you just get caught up in your daily tasks. And, you know, then you kind of, every once in a while, you kind of reengage with that. I wonder what's going on. Why is it taking so long? When's this going to be resolved? And I want it to be resolved as soon as possible for the benefit of not only myself, but the community. So you just got to keep plugging on, you know. It's just one of those things, and I can't get caught up into that.
Yesterday, Bloomington's congressman came to check up on how the stimulus is working, and Bloomington's mayor responded that the stimulus was working splendidly. But honestly, not much of that money has really arrived in Bloomington yet, and I assume it hasn't arrived in Terre Haute or other communities. And it's just been 2 months since they passed that bill. What are your impressions so far of how the stimulus has worked or how it will work?
Well, you know, the red tape associated with this is phenomenal. And so that's what we've been spending a tremendous amount of time, was just gearing ourselves to getting access to that money. And we've not seen it yet, but we know it's coming. We've been filling out the applications. We've been got approval letters telling us, well, here's how much you're going to get and those kinds of things. But you put your plan together and you submit it to them, and then you wait then until that funneling effect comes back your way. And so there hasn't been any direct impact of the stimulus in Terre Haute per se, because we haven't applied any money that, you know, that not been able to spend any money yet that's going to be applied to our community. And, you know, I'm sure that time is going to come. I mean, it is the construction season just getting ready to kick off here. And once we can get this particular project, Brown Avenue, going, and our transit funds, and we're going to be doing some things with housing in our community and with some public safety dollars, we will start generating some things, creating some jobs. Some of those will be temporary jobs, but at least it'll put people to work. And we'll use the stimulus money as wisely as we possibly can in our community, following all the rules and regulations that come along with it.
The congressman yesterday spoke of a psychological benefit of the stimulus, that people at least think something's going to be happening. Do you see that?
Well, not really. I think what I saw was a big peak of excitement when it passed, and everybody getting all wound up. And then, of course, we start getting calls from construction companies and engineering firms and attorney firms, everybody wanting some business. And it's like, then that died off really quickly. And then you start going through the red tape process of applying for the money and then waiting for the paperwork to be processed and then approve, disprove, whatever. And so I think that early emotion is gone. So now people are waiting on, how is it really going to stimulate the economy? Is this going to put a bunch of people to work? Can I see it? Can I go touch it and feel it? And then we're just in that waiting mode now where it really, you don't see that. You don't feel that. So I'm sure that the congressman feels like he's done his part and is bringing those dollars to Indiana. But right now we're in that lull period where I don't think a lot of people are excited about it because they haven't seen it yet.
Well, just briefly, in about 15 seconds, you said construction season is starting. You think that'll help Terre Haute's economy?
Well, I think so. You know, we've got several projects we're going to be doing, the Blakely Avenue extension, the Margaret Avenue Phase 1 from 3rd to 7th, Brown Avenue, both Phase 1 and Phase 2, some trail projects, some things that we're going to put local contractors to work. And
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I hate to cut you off.
That's
I'm okay. Sorry. Enjoy your vacation.
Okay, thank you much.
Please tune in next week when Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan joins us in the studio. For producer Stan Dostrebski and engineer Mike Pashkash, I'm Daniel Robbins, and this has been Ask the Mayor on WFIU.